Nothing like a podcast starting on time.
That sounds like the beginning of a really good rhyme.
I think we just did it right there.
Well, let's see if we do this then. Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode 117 for Thursday, the 2nd of March, 2017. This is the show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Amos, that's David, and wait, no, wait.
Oh, not me.
The windows are messed up.
What's up, everybody?
You're in the middle this time. What's... Damn it, Skype! Fucking Skype, hey. Man.
What's going on, guys?
How you doing, dude?
You, had me... like disarmed here. I was tweeting and you push the button and it's like, oh wait, is it happening?
Yeah,
it's happening.
That's what I do, man.
So we have David Majors, aka just call me DJM.
Yeah.
See,
the famous,
we were already going so well in the pre-show. It's not just call me DJM, for the love of it's Guys, just call me DJM.
That's what he said.
That'll work.
Got it. Okay, DJM is with us, guys. Welcome.
I am thoroughly confused, so it must be Ritual Misery time. Hey, I'm going to start things off by saying a little something like this. Alexa, turn on Ritual Misery. And it didn't work.
Of course.
It didn't work.
Alexa,
she just
turn on Ritual Misery.
Ah, she can't hear you. She can barely hear me. So,
so what's supposed to happen?
Throughout
Alexa
my
owes
house,
me money.
Yeah, throughout my house, I have a little bit of red lights in random places. Not so random. There's one outside the door of my office. There's one at the bottom of the stairs. And there's one upstairs in the kitchen, which is just directly above me. So when I turn on Ritual Misery... It brightens the room up with a little bit of red. Lets everybody know that I'm recording to stay the hell out of my office and stop pounding on the floor upstairs.
That's pretty cool, man. But you know, the first thing that came to my mind was Roxanne. You don't have to turn on the red light. Okay, somebody talk so that it stops this.
I have a couple of singles. Because I figured it is kind of late here. Is this that kind of podcast? Because I'm only slightly prepared for that kind of thing.
Well, I mean,
only slightly.
It only occasionally devolves into that.
Oh, okay. No problem.
As in, like, every time. So that's kind of one of the things that I've got going on this weekend. Man, it's been a fun week. It's been a crazy week. It's been a hellacious week. How have you guys been doing?
I've been super busy getting ready for next week, as well as trying to get ready for David's appearance. So it was like this double duty thing going on. The reason that we are putting so much time and effort into next week is that we are putting on a live show at South by Southwest in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
So we
one
had to
day,
we
one
had
day
to get ready. And, so just as a preview, I am wearing one of the brand new Ritual Misery t-shirts that commemorates the live show. So I'm wearing it a week early. So it's like a sneak preview of the shirt. Man, we got all kinds of stuff planned for next week. We'll get into that later in the show. But David, we want to know how you're doing and what you've been up to this week.
My week has been absolutely fucking terrible, for the lack of a better term.
Oh, man.
For those of you out there that may not know, pretty much everyone east of the Mississippi this time of year usually comes down with some kind of sickness or illness or upper respiratory flu / cold / almost pneumonia type of thing. And I'm still kind of not 100% with the disclaimer that I do 4 other podcasts, including guesting on this very podcast, Pain Monopoly. It's been a bit of a struggle, not gonna lie.
That sucks, man. Yeah, I had something about a week or so ago. Yeah, I guess it was last weekend. I was pretty much bedridden, and it was awful, man. It was like migraines and just feeling like total crap.
Through the magic and the power of editing, most recently on one of my shows, It's in Season, I actually threw up during the podcast.
Oh, God.
That's
not good, man.
But hey, I can edit. I can edit like a you-know-what. So nobody caught it.
What Amos and I would have done, we totally would have made that a Patreon exclusive.
Well, I did the Patreon thing for a minute in 2016, but eh.
Yeah, you gonna bring it back?
No.
What?
I figure what I do is pretty much put together by, you know, chewing gum, popsicle sticks, and my own angst. And that's pretty much enough.
All right.
I got one of my co-hosts, Mike, and
I'm keeping my website up, and that's pretty much it. I don't need a Patreon.
Yeah.
I was going to
say,
stop telling everybody our secrets, man. That's how we built this show. I enjoy being sick.
What? Oh, okay. So for the audio only listeners, he is voraciously shaking his head in the negative.
I have been sick in my life, so much so that in the military we have medical records. And it's like a hospital record, except it's just this big folder of paper. Mm-hmm, Kent, mm-hmm. When you retired, do you know how big your medical record was?
Man, see, I never go to the hospital.
Right.
I don't get hurt that often. Mine was probably like, I don't know, 2 or 3 inches thick.
Okay. Most of that was like yearly physicals and stuff like that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I only have one volume. According to my doctors here, because the other two volumes have been misplaced.
Oh my,
that sounds about right. Yeah, that sounds
luckily
about right.
My wife knows somebody from Texas where I used to live, and they called over there and said, oh yeah, they're sitting right here, found them.
Oh, but well, at least they still exist.
Yes. But that was the second of two paperwork kerfuffles I went through this week. The first one,
wait, you're telling me you had paperwork kerfuffles?
Oh, yes.
Involving the military?
Oh yes.
Go, come on. What are you talking about?
My ticket to South By is actually being paid for by the military because I went from an overseas assignment to another overseas assignment. It's a little deal we get, and I'm using mine for South By.
Nice.
I have to do a bunch of paperwork, and it has to go through a bunch of people in order to get those free tickets, and that paperwork was all turned in early last week. Yesterday I went and found out that all that paperwork was lost late last week. So If I didn't have a copy of it, I wouldn't be going to South By. That's essentially the moral of that story.
Yes. For all of you military members, if you don't have a copy of everything in your record, you are fucking up.
Yeah. You're
have a hard copy, scan it to a PDF,
yep,
and just put that hard copy and a soft copy.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Keep everything.
Oh, yeah.
So, David, you were in the military.
I was.
Tell us a little bit about that. What did you do?
I had what some kids might call a gap year. But in 2003, I was in the Air Force. I did 4 years from 2003 to 2007. And I was an IT guy, by and large. I did the help desk stuff. I did the network admin stuff. I made the trouble tickets. I answered the trouble tickets. I talked with all of the corporations about all of the stuff the base I was on needed. I was occasionally the on-call person when stuff broke. I was the catch-all IT person for quite a few years. And I enjoyed it. And I still do it today, just not in uniform.
Right on. That's pretty cool, man. A lot of people, when I'll tell a rando that I'm in the Air Force, they're like, oh, really? What airplane do you fly?
Do you fly?
And that's the thing. Like, Amos and I have it kind of easy, I guess, because we're not pilots, but we're maintainers. We're aircraft maintainers. So we work on the airplanes. But a lot of, you know, and a lot of people get that right away. But when somebody like you, an IT guy, when they say, what do you fly? Like, oh, I don't. I, you know, I work the help desk.
Like, I,
what? What are you talking about? That's an Air Force thing? What do you, what?
Yeah. There are still some that are not contracted out.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I was one of them. And eventually I became one of them that actually wasn't sitting at the help desk all day because God, that can drive a man mad.
Yeah, no doubt. Did you get to do anything like really cool? Did you get to go to any cool overseas places or anything?
See, that is exactly why I did not reenlist after 4 years, because I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried. But I was at Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska, just outside of the city of Omaha, near a little city called Bellevue. And there was a saying about Offutt Air Force Base, and that's once you get off it, you don't get off it. I found this to be true with quite a few people that were near retirement. They might have had the occasional trip somewhere else, maybe like a year in Korea or something, but they always ended up back at Offutt Air Force Base. So young 20, 21-year-old DJM put in for assignment after assignment. It could have been anywhere. Send me to Korea for a year. Send me to Iraq for 6 months. Send me somewhere else in the United States. I don't care. Just send me somewhere. And if you don't, I'm so not reenlisting.
Yeah,
and
they didn't.
That's pretty much how it went.
Yeah, I can speak from experience twice over that a year in Korea is not the worst case scenario.
Yeah, I was up for it. I was totally open to it, but it just never came about.
Yeah,
the closest I got was almost a 90-day assignment at Baghdad International Airport. Almost. But at the last minute, they took my supervisor instead.
That's, I mean, and that almost counts, right? That's
almost.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's the world travel is what kept me in for 20 years, because if it wasn't for the travel, like, there's no way. I mean, the Air Force, I mean, it's good. I believe in the mission. I love being with the people and everything, but the. You know, being stuck in the States, putting up with all of the, you know, all of the additional crap that we have to do, just the day-to-day grind of having to be clean shaven, dress a certain way, be at certain stupid functions we don't want to be at, PT, writing EPR, you know, all of the just extra crap that goes with it. Like, there's no way I would have stuck it out for 20 years.
I just realized for the first time in years that there actually is a tiny bit of me that actually does miss that a little bit.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What? Wait, what? Hey, whoa. I don't right
I know. I know. It's weird. Like, but listening to Kent for a minute there, I was just like, yeah. I mean, like I said, I probably would have done 8. I would have done 8. I wouldn't have been opposed to that, but
I'm keeping up on 24. That's enough military bullshit. Kent, what the hell is Dork League, man? Can you explain this to me real quick?
Yeah, man. So I discovered something that was right up my alley. It's called Dorkly. It's a YouTube channel. David, have you seen Dorkly before?
I have heard of it, and I probably have.
It is awesome. It's these animated short films. They're like 3 minutes a piece. Like, I think the longest one I watched was like three and a half minutes long. And they're usually like a minute and a half, 2 minutes. And the ones that I watched were based on video games. So they'll take like Mario style animation and they'll have like a little animated comedy.
Okay, clip. Yeah. And this is where Sonic Needs a Job came from.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And these things are absolutely hilarious. I watched the entire Mario playlist almost in one setting. And it's just amazing. If you guys haven't seen Dorkly, the YouTube channel, absolutely check it out. It is great. It's fantastic.
As soon as I saw Sonic Needs a Job, it hit me like, oh yeah, because the Sonic fandom has embraced its memery so strongly. So as soon as I saw this, yeah, it all came back to me with Sonic Needs a Job.
So you're a Sonic fan then, I take it?
Oh yes. Sonic is, if there is one thing that I could say is like the center of my video game fandom, and what an appropriate time with the premiere of the Nintendo Switch to talk about Sonic the Hedgehog. So,
wait a minute. Isn't Sonic a Sega game?
Yeah.
How in the world can it be on the Nintendo? That's weird.
Well, it's 2017.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And Sega is pretty much sticking to doing Japanese arcade games. They're not doing any consoles anymore, and they're just letting Sonic run free, as it were, on every console that will have it, including
that whore.
Nintendo systems.
that's pretty cool. That's back when I was a kid, there was a big divide between Nintendo kids and Sega kids. It was pretty much the NES versus the Genesis. And I was definitely a Nintendo kid.
It was the PlayStation Xbox equivalent of its time.
Right, exactly.
It was. And I was a Sega kid. I had Nintendo friends. I don't judge. Never have. But I always knew where my bread and butter was, and that was with the blur. And now in 2017, seeing Sonic Mania and the Project 2017 and seeing how the weird meme-obsessed Sonic fandom is really having this resurgence, it makes me feel alive while at the same time slightly ashamed, but not really.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Let your geek flag fly, man. Whatever your geek is, let it fly, dude. That's
And for anyone out there that isn't already aware, if you follow the official Sonic the Hedgehog account on Twitter, you will not be disappointed. Even if you're not a big Sonic fan, it is something that is truly wonderful if you love memes. And if you just love video game culture in general, the official Sonic the Hedgehog Twitter account is an absolute joy.
Mm. Awesome. Amos, you were a Nintendo kid, too. Did you have any of the Sonic envy? I know I always did. Like I was like, man, Sega has one cool game, and it's Sonic the Hedgehog, and I wish they would put it on Nintendo.
Sega had exactly one cool game, and...
Oh, well, I don't know about all that.
I don't remember what it was because the only thing in my neighborhood was Nintendo. The first time I ever played a Sega was actually at Pat's house in Indiana.
Oh.
That's how deeply embedded into Nintendo I was.
Yeah, that's a lot of people. A lot of, like, super-duper diehard
Sega
Nintendo
was a machine at the arcade. It was not something in the home.
That just know nothing but Nintendo.
Sega sat next to Neo Geo in the arcade. That's what I know.
Yeah, right.
I grew up with all of the Sega systems until I eventually got a PlayStation, and then my older brother had a Dreamcast. So with the exception of the old school Game Boy, Nintendo is something that I only know by periphery. So I'm the polar opposite. Like I said, the Nintendo Switch is coming out. Go for it, guys. I see Zelda. Looks really good. I saw ARMS. That looks kind of cool. It kind of looks like a fighting game, which is pretty sweet. So
I got to say, the only thing I want the Nintendo for is the Zelda. Like, I don't care about anything else at this point.
That is exactly how so many, like, diehard Nintendo fans are. It's just Zelda, Mario, and Metroid. Just give me those. Right. Give me those, damn you.
A new Metroid would be cool, but I just want the Zelda. Like, can I just rent the system, buy the Zelda game, just keep that forever, and just borrow the rent the system anytime I needed it to? Like, that's all I care about. That's it.
I'm hearing it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and it doesn't taste very good is what I'm hearing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be hitting YouTube soon.
Oh, my God. So because of the small size of the cartridges or whatever they're calling them, they're basically like SD cards, mm-hmm. the games. And to keep it from being a choking hazard for children, or at least mitigate the choking hazard for children, They put some sort
or
of
man children,
right. They put some sort of a coating on the plastic that makes it taste absolutely horrible. And of course, once this news hit the world, every freaking video game journalist
I
had to
know,
put it in the
who the hell was it this that was like, ah, you know what?
Dude, look it up, man.
Google it. It's already gone viral. There are already like so many. Hey guys, what's up? I'm gonna taste the Nintendo Switch cartridge. Let's see how it tastes. Oh god, it's awful. This is my reaction. It's terrible. Remember to like, share, and subscribe.
Wow. Yeah. And cut. Done.
And it's not just the YouTubers, we just got
our next mini episode right there.
Yeah, but the thing is, it kills me. It's not just the YouTubers and the bloggers and shit doing this. It's like the major video game journalists are doing this.
Video game journalists.
Yeah, well, you know, if there is such a thing.
Well, there is. But honestly, video game journalists are extremely fortunate people that get to do something very special for a living. And
that is
sometimes that involves licking game cartridges.
Hell yeah. Amos, what have you been doing lately? You've been buying some stuff?
Yeah, our washer and dryer just went out like nearly simultaneously last week. And by went out, I mean the washer lost a few cycles and the dryer now makes a loud squealing noise. And it's the washer and dryer that came with the house, which means the previous owners used it to wash their dogs or whatever, or is just a dumping ground of fur, because that's pretty much
is
what
that legal in Alaska?
So I don't know. But now we're gonna get rid of the evidence. We did some research. I went out and got a new washer and dryer. It's gonna get delivered actually while I'm coming back from South by, and it's one of those things, man. I didn't realize just how connected like appliances were. I thought it was just a high-end thing, you know? And we're actually getting a Samsung washer and dryer that's all connected and tells you when the shit's done and everything else. And I'm like, now I get to geek out about washers and dryers? Fucking sweet.
So what does it do? Does it send you a text like, hey, go put me in the dryer?
I don't know. I'm going to find out. That will be my my on-the-spot reporting later on.
Awesome.
It's the internet of laundry. we're living in the sci-fi future where you can get text notifications from your washing machine.
Would it be linen net?
I like it.
I don't like it because that makes me think of you know, fascist communist.
You're thinking Lenin.
Yeah.
Oh, Lenin.
Is that what we're talking about?
Linen, like the thing you put on
linen.
Well, the thing that some people wash and put on their beds, Kent. I don't know how you sleep, but
is that the same thing that's like lying in state still to this day, many decades after his death?
Yes. Exactly the same. And he's got some really nice blankets. Really, like they change the comforters like every few months. They're really, really nice.
I bet they start to smell after a while. So that makes
sense. Does linen
again?
Net...
Going back to when it starts to smell, that's when the text notifications go out to the people that maintain those things, and then they come and wash them.
Okay. Well, that's convenient. That makes sense.
I'm thinking linen net would gauge its speed in thread count. What do you think?
Really high tech.
That would be
I know Samsung stuff is really expensive, but wow, that's super high tech.
Oh, that's
Samsung,
the thing.
The dryer business now?
Samsung does everything.
Yeah, they're in all the businesses.
They do everything. They do dryers, washers, TVs, toothbrushes. Mm-hmm. They probably do some other things that I'm not entirely comfortable talking about.
They do heating pads, aka phones.
Ah,
oh, good point.
I've had a few of those. Thankfully, no serious burns. I'm still here. No discernible Dane Bramage as of yet.
That's good. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's important.
So apparently, recently there's been a lot of wrestling stuff, man. Like I'm not into this wrestling stuff. David, can you explain to me why a generalized geek such as myself would want to get into the world of professional wrestling?
Why would a generalized geek get into the world of professional wrestling? This is not a dissimilar question that I've answered for the generalized geek when it comes to anime. And it really is as simple as this. People always say pro wrestling is a male soap opera. And simplifying it, yes, you could call it that.
But so is the NFL.
But the NFL, but wrestling actually admits that it's planned.
Well put. Well put.
In the case of pro wrestling, it is crazy characters. It is action. It is trashy schlock humor. It is world-class athleticism. It is Dwayne The Rock Johnson in his purest form. And it all does it with a loving wink and nod, saying, yes, we know this is kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters in professional basketball, but you can come in, you can have fun, and you can suspend your disbelief, and you can learn to never headbutt a Samoan. That's a rule. Look it up.
It's still real to me, damn it.
And that's okay.
Ever since Ultimate Warrior tried to clothesline Hulk Hogan or something like that, and it was like a 4-foot gap in between Ultimate Warrior's arm and Hogan's chest, I was like,
when you were like 7 years old,
yeah, and something like that.
Still believe in Santa Claus?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, oh man. I was like, damn.
Wait, what about Santa Claus?
Nothing. Never mind. Moving up. Moving on. Moving past that.
I was like, wrestling's fake. So glad I still got Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny.
Well, yeah, I mean, everyone knows Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny are total. I mean, wrestling is predetermined. Yes, but Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, Jesus, all of those. Totally legit.
Now, this is important to it's predetermined, but not necessarily scripted entertainment.
It is predetermined to a point where the storylines and the feuds and the results of the matches are known ahead of time. But when the bell rings and the performers are in the ring, it's generally improvised.
Right.
Guys have their move sets. They may talk a little bit before the match, but generally what they say is, you know, you call it in the ring, as they say, where one of them or both, they are talking to one another live as it is happening, and they're actually having the match.
Yeah. And
sometimes there's actual physical content, sometimes there isn't, and that is where the magic happens.
And from what I understand, it's not always a scripted result either. Like, sometimes it's just the flow of the match and how the crowd gets into it, and that's how it's decided as well.
So exactly. Generally, it's just the finish. Who is going to win? Who's going to get the 1, 2, 3?
Right.
But from there, it's pretty much the guys or the girls out there kind of feeling it out, reading the crowd, because it is live improv generally, and just kind of playing it out how they see fit. And so, it's at its best, it is a brilliant art form of athleticism and performance.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with everything you just said. I'm a huge wrestling geek from way back in the day. I was watching wrestling when I was 4 years old with my grandpa on a black and white TV. And I mean, as recently as like 2 or 3 pay-per-views ago, I was watching it a little bit. But I haven't had the time in the last few years to really follow it the way that I used to. And honestly, the only thing that I watch anymore at all is WWE. I used to catch all the promotions. Now I barely had the time to do it, and I miss it so much.
Well, Ken, I got to ask, there has been something that is in the last year or so that really got a lot of viral attention in the wrestling world. And it was something that really captivated myself personally to the point where I cosplayed this character.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay.
Has you caught anything on YouTube regarding Broken Matt Hardy?
Yes. So back in the day, like back in the late 90s, early 2000s,
sure,
the Hardy Boys, loved those dudes. I was always a big tag team fan. My first favorite tag team was the Killer Bees back in the early 80s. I don't know if you remember those guys.
So I take it you're not a big Iron Sheik fan.
No, 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 no. Okay. I'm more of a fan now that I kind of know the behind the scenes stories, and I've watched like the documentary on the guy, and he's an interesting person. We'll leave that there.
Yes.
I hated the character. He was the baddest heel. I hated him. But I've always been a fan of tag teams, and when Matt and Jeff came onto the scene, I couldn't get enough of them. Just the high flying, the teamwork between them, just the charisma that they presented in the ring. Always loved them. And yeah, over the past several months, I have seen a trend on my Twitter of people talking about broken Matt Hardy. So about a week or so ago, I had to finally see what all the fuss was about. And this is in the Impact promotion, or the TNA promotion.
This is Total Nonstop Action, aka Impact Wrestling.
Yes.
Where Matt Hardy has been given total creative freedom. And in the last couple of years or so, he is... Matt Hardy, over the years, has been known for evolving his character many, many times.
Yeah, you had Matt 2.0.
You had a Big Money Matt, iconic Matt. And that eventually led to what we now see as broken Matt Hardy. And it really caught a lot of attention, especially for not being in WWE. It really caught a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he back when they first started, he was kind of like the bland guy. Like Jeff was always a lot of people would call him a spot monkey. He was the one always, you know, doing the high flying thing. He was jumping off the 30-foot ladders.
Yes.
Jumping off the Jumbotron, just doing whatever to be the guy in the spotlight. And Matt has been more. He seemed to be like the smart one. He
was the workhorse of the team.
Right.
And the one that kind of did, I guess you could say, a lot of their creative ideas, a lot of their storyline ideas, a lot of the character stuff, a lot of that was Matt. And right. He's always kind of been underrated more for his wrestling mind. And in recent times, with the emergence of this crazy, insane, metaphysical, broken Matt character, where in a match against Jeff, he got toppled on from the top of the arena through a table. Matt's brain was awakened by the seven deities, and he grew this white streak and grew mystical powers and
gained the final.
He gained this broken accent as part of his broken condition. And we had, which led us to the final deletion, the Matt Hardy production that ended up going viral, where it was essentially Matt and Jeff doing what they've done forever, backyard wrestling in their home in North Carolina, which is something they've been doing forever, before, during, even now, throughout their entire wrestling career. And it went viral.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing. Yeah, this is the type of storyline that if I wasn't interested in wrestling anymore, if I had just forgotten about it, this is a storyline that absolutely would have brought me back in, because it's got everything. It's got the physicality, the amazing talent of Jeff and Matt and the opponents that they've been facing, and just that just grandiose theatrical elements to it that just
and Matt, to his credit, has taken that to its most logical extreme, to where he realizes that the cat is kind of out of the bag with pro wrestling. Mm. So he decided to just go all the way and just say, hey, there are the seven deities. I have a broken condition. I have supernatural powers. There is a lesbian drone that can teleport.
Yes, they teleported to Mexico.
And they are on the expedition of gold to capture every tag team championship in the world, so that the Hardy Boys will be known the greatest tag team in the history of space and time. They've taken on champions in Mexico. They took on the Rock and Roll Express for Tag Team Apocalypto. And as they say, it is Matt Hardy's broken brilliance. And as someone who has really never stopped watching wrestling, and someone who really doesn't get excited by a lot of it anymore. This being as insane as it is exactly what I needed. Which is unfortunate because it just came out yesterday that Matt Hardy is leaving TNA Wrestling, and it seems like the broken saga is probably over, and now I'm sad.
Yeah, is there? I heard rumors that he's going to WWE. Is that confirmed, or is that just something that's out there?
Nothing set in stone. As of right now, he's going to be, he and Jeff will be having a much talked about match in Ring of Honor against Nick and Matt Jackson, the Young Bucks.
Yeah, that should be awesome. I really need to get back into wrestling. I need to manufacture some time so that I can really get back into it. Speaking of fighting, there's some new fighting games coming out that I think we're all excited
about.
Yeah.
Now, this is crazy. Just today, both two fighting games, because I love fighting games, released trailers this morning. And it's amazing that they released them at the same time, pretty much. Tekken 7, which is coming out in June, and Injustice 2, the sequel to the DC fighting game created by NetherRealm Studios behind Mortal Kombat. They released character trailers for Eddie Gordo from Tekken 7, one of the iconic characters of the Tekken franchise, the capoeira fighter, Eddie Gordo. For you fighting game fans, you know Eddie Gordo. And for Injustice 2, the DC character that was announced in the trailer today, very interesting choice that I was not totally aware of, Dr. Fate. And that's actually really, really interesting. I did not know Dr. Fate was going to be in this game. And as a DC fan, I'm definitely intrigued.
Amos, have you played any of the earlier iterations of games in these franchises?
Of course. I played Tekken at Jeremy's place for, I don't know, a year or so. Back on the original PlayStation, I believe.
Yeah, nice. Tekken 2 is actually what got me into the franchise. It was an arcade game. Actually, back when we were in tech school at Shepard Air Force Base. And that's what got me hooked on it. And I've kind of been a fan ever since. I haven't been gaming a whole lot in the last couple of years, but I've kind of tried to follow.
Honestly, me either. Like, my gaming interest usually revolves around Tekken. Mm-hmm. And the last Tekken game was Tekken Tag Tournament 2, which came out a few years ago. So now that Tekken 7 is about to come out, in the last year or so, I found myself really getting back into video games and fighting games specifically, because that's really always been my favorite genre.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Tekken 7 looks really good. It looks like it's true to form. It's back to the basics. Not that Tekken is really strayed too far from the basics.
Except Akuma's in it.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. It looks
awesome.
Really refined, and it looks awesome. Now, what you were saying about Injustice 2, Dr. Fate, I did watch the Dr. Fate character trailer just today, in fact, and I'm kind of excited about that. Dr. Yeah. Fate is one of those characters that, like, the casual, who the hell is Dr. Fate?
Right, like, right. And even with the first Injustice game, they did a really okay balance of having pretty well-known DC characters and having a few kind of surprise picks. With Injustice 2, right now, the two characters that I want to play aren't exactly the most well-known DC characters, one being Dr. Fate and two, Black Canary. Black Canary's trailer was like, wow, I really want to play her. She looks really, really cool. And the success of the Injustice games, it shows that DC still has some things that they do well, like the animated movies, and everyone raves about the story mode in the Injustice games. So if you haven't had the chance, that's also something to look forward to.
Now, the one thing that stood out for me in the, I think it was the release trailer, when they basically showed the storyline trailer, Superman punches through someone's chest.
Yes.
It was a lot more graphic than I was expecting.
Did yeah.
You see that, Amos?
I was saying that as a non-comic book nerd that I am, I have never played Injustice, but it looks pretty good.
Oh, it's great. If, like I said, it was made by NetherRealm Studios, the people behind Mortal Kombat, and you know they know fighting games, obviously. So it's Injustice is great. It's a really fun game. You can play as Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Martian Manhunter. Believe it or not, Aquaman in the first game is actually pretty cool.
His super
move in the first Injustice game is easily the coolest. You get eaten by a giant shark a la Sam Jackson in Deep Blue Sea.
And, yes.
And yeah, the Injustice games, even if you're not a super comic book nerd, which I am not, I'm not by any means. Yeah, the Injustice games are tons of fun. And if anybody out there wants to talk more fighting games, please, I'm all about that. I'm about that life, especially now in 2017, where it looks like fighting games are really resurgent.
So, yeah, it's I think right now is a good time for pretty much all video games, and
yes.
Fighting games are definitely the genre that at least to me is really starting to shine.
Yeah.
Amos, what else you got?
I just wanted to mention something from a while ago for us, something that came through. This right here, Mystery Science Theater 3000, better known affectionately as MST3K, is coming to Netflix April 14th. They did it. They did all but the last of their stretch goals, and we're going to get some new MST3K. And
yeah,
I should not be as excited about this as I am.
No, you absolutely should be excited.
MST3K is worth all your excitement.
Yeah,
it absolutely exactly. Is.
Yes, I cannot wait. Tom Servo, Crow. I cannot wait, man.
Yeah.
This is actual MST3K, not Riff Tracks. This is Mystery Science Theater 3000. I'm so excited for this.
And shout out to Netflix for doing this and making this happen. I mean, can I say MST3K and chill?
Right.
Is that all right?
Yes.
Nothing wrong with that?
My God. I love that.
It harkens to the days when you'd watch MST3K, and I know, especially when I first started watching it, I didn't know what the hell it was. Like, there was no premise given if you didn't catch the little one-minute intro. There was no premise. It was just a guy on a spaceship with a bunch of weird-ass robots bagging on some really, really shitty movies. And here it is, you know, 10, 20 years later. Just
super, 15. So,
super
yeah.
Excited to see this. This is going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's God. Yeah, I can't tell you how excited I am for this. So good. So, David, on this show, we play a game called Hot Takes.
Ooh, yes. I mean, you guys know I do a sports show, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So the way that we do it on our show is we give you about a minute and some topics, and I'm going to shout them out. And then you're going to say whatever comes to your mind. You're going to rant and rave and just say whatever it is you want to say about that topic until you hear that sound right there.
Yes.
And you stop talking and get your next topic, and then you just go.
Like I said, I host a sports show. I'm all about the hot takes. Let's do this damn thing. Let's go.
You've got 60 seconds.
Get your mind right.
It's time for Hot Takes on the Ritual Misery Podcast.
All right, David, even though we already covered this, I'm going to hit it again. Dr. Fate, am I right?
Hell yes. Dr. Fate looks awesome. This is a character that, in comparison to all of the other Injustice characters, actually looks halfway interesting. I mean, Superman, Batman, Harley Quinn, we all saw them.
Roman Reigns, am I right?
He's actually not that bad, and I think a lot of the internet wrestling community really needs to chill the fuck out. He's actually pretty good.
Andre Meadows, am I right?
this guy, I mean, what can you even say about this guy? I mean, there's just no words. It's absolutely inexplicably. I literally can't even.
Tay Allen, am I right?
I love her to death. She is a godsend. She is an angel. She is a treasure to mankind. I love you, Tay. I love you very much.
The Ritual Misery Podcast, am I right?
The Ritual Misery Podcast is something that everyone should enjoy and hopefully be worthy enough to be a guest on.
Oh, my God.
Awesome.
It always perfect. Excites me when people can't say the name of the show quite right. Like something about I always got offended by it until Odocta like called us out on having the difficult to say name, and then since then, anytime someone screws it up, I'm just like,
at least give me a little credit for getting the reference at the beginning and saying Pain Monopoly. At least I got the reference at the beginning, okay?
definitely. We got a couple more topics to cover. One, what do you guys think about products for sale on the internet, as many of them are, getting bad reviews due to the customer service of the company that makes the product?
And instead of like reviewing the product itself.
Yes, exactly. And the reason, obviously, I've done a lot of research here lately with the purchases and things like that. And I came across this a lot, and I was just like, What are your thoughts on that?
I think customer reviews, especially related to customer service, are pretty much maybe about a half step about Facebook comments. I think you have to take them with maybe about a teaspoon and a half of salt, because people are usually giving one-star reviews when they're mad and they're not thinking clearly, kind of like with Facebook comments, where nobody's thinking clearly. So I just you kind of have to take them with a grain of salt. I mean, I just saw someone earlier today talk about how they got a one-star review because their dog had a problem with throwing up something that shouldn't have been in their mouth to begin with. I'm not even making that up.
You know, I'm with you on this. I think like especially the outlier customer reviews where somebody just gives it a one and says that, you know, worst experience of my life, you know, just discard those. But if the thing has 700 reviews and 550 of them are all saying worst customer service experience ever, you kind of got to put some weight in that, though.
Oh, absolutely. But it takes that many reviews, and you kind of look at the star ratings and you see how it averages out. When you get something that has 1,000 reviews and then you see it kind of averages out to be like a 2, that's when you say, okay, this is where you might have to stop for a second. But generally, that isn't most things that you see online. It's usually either a few ones, a few fives, and then you find the rest in the middle.
Right. For me, it's almost kind of a pet peeve, because I almost feel like the reviews for the company itself should be separate. There's so many times that I've had a great product built by a shitty company, or like a really good company has built just one-off bad products, and to me, my OCD mind wants to separate the two and feels that everyone should separate the two, but obviously that's not congruent to
well, you know, nowadays so many companies have customer satisfaction surveys and customer ratings and all of those things, where if you do have some kind of service, you can ask to see how it went and how your service was in comparison to the products. And that is something that the company does get feedback on, at least. So at least that's something you can give to them, as opposed to giving a one-star review.
Hmm. Yeah, I wish that there was like two separate ratings. So like you can rate the product on the product's merits, but then rate your experience, and that goes against like the store's overall rate.
So essentially what we want is a consumer reports to be free so we can get to all of them. all the time.
Yes, problem solved. Yeah, that would be amazing.
All right. Last up, what the hell is Poppy?
Poppy? Well, she's Poppy.
Apparently, but you put this link in the show notes, and I opened it up, of course, because that's what I do when people put links in my show notes. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, is this something that I should even know about, or is like I don't know how to take Poppy. So can you explain Poppy to us? We're having you just explain everything today. What the hell's Poppy?
Poppy is a pop star who may or may not be an android, who may or may not be the greatest thing in the history of YouTube, and might also be a cult, but might also not be a cult. It is the creation of the young lady we see, Poppy, and a gentleman by the name of Titanic Sinclair. It might also be a critique of the internet itself. There are interpretations that say that Poppy herself is a manifestation of the internet, and everything that surrounds Poppy is that reaction. And as someone who is obsessed with meta humor and referential humor, Poppy is everything to me, because I am constantly looking through the fourth wall, and I love Poppy. Poppy is everything to me.
I feel really
and a few
weird.
Of the songs are pretty decent. It's kind of like electro pop, and I'm pretty okay.
I'm getting a real Jared vibe here, and I'm not quite sure why. It seems a little weird.
It's a little weird. I'm not gonna lie. It's a little out there, but you've just gotta let it. If you go on a YouTube dive on Poppy's YouTube channel, it'll either click and you'll love it, or you'll be terrified and you'll want to bleach your mind.
It looks like live action anime to me.
Well, that's probably why I love it. I'm not going to lie. Like, no secret, anime is kind of my thing. So, yeah, that's probably why. But it is weird.
Poppy is
weird.
It's a little weird.
But Poppy is also wonderful.
It's
There's also
weird.
A mannequin and a plant and a skeleton and a few decent pop songs.
So is she singing in more than one of these these videos? Because I'm not sure.
Yeah, her actual music videos are either on her official channel or her Vevo channel, one or the other. Her official channel, is there a storyline going on? But it also might be her and Titanic Sinclair just kind of throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks and seeing how people interpret it.
I see this, and all I think of is someone is fucking with me. Someone is fucking with me right now. Looking at
I will say yes and no. The answer to that is yes and no.
I think you're fucking with me by putting that in the show notes. That's what I think is happening.
That's awesome.
The truth is, I genuinely love this, but I'm also kind of insane. I'm not normal. Like, I'm really, really broken. So,
oh, man.
Yeah.
So
Poppy is wonderful to me.
You were saying that you're an anime guy. Do you perhaps have a podcast where you talk about anime?
Yeah, I have a couple. I have an anime podcast of some sort with my friend Jack, where we talk about anime, games, and just general weeaboo shit, as they say. I have another one called It's in Season, where my friends Cody and Shay, we talk about a couple of anime airing each season, spring, summer, winter, and fall. And those are my two podcasts about the animus, the Japanimation, as they used to call it back in the day.
Yes, I remember when it was Japanimation. What other shows do you host?
Oh, well, there's also the flagship with my buddy, the venerable King Kaz of Drunk Kids Gaming, which they affectionately call Shooting the Shit with Two Nerdy Black Guys. I don't like the name. I've never cared for the name, except I'm the one that hosts and produces everything. I'm also the producer and recorder and editor of the show Sports Odds and Ends, the sports show for the fly-by-night sports fan, where King Kaz and our buddy Jerry Venn, JVZ, talk about the week in sports and stories from the sports world that may or may not fall through the cracks, and Draymond Green occasionally kicking people.
Well, that sounds awful.
That's what happens, though. That's how that breaks down.
A lot. He kicks people often.
We've got another piece of business that that we need to cover.
Yeah, Kent, I see this. What is this, man? What is this right here?
So we uncovered, because as we do here on Ritual Misery, we do research on our guests.
Digging into the past.
Yeah, and we found out that unbeknownst to most people, possibly even David himself, because of his broken mind, he used to be a writer of horror movies. And we uncovered one of his old movies, and here's kind of a review that we found that someone has written about his movie. Do you want to read it for us, Amos?
I'll read it, but see, one of the things that we're missing here, we didn't get a title. So what we're gonna have to do is I'm gonna read this out, and then you're gonna have to tell us what the title was at the end of it. Is that cool, David?
Absolutely. Right. It's always great to dust off the old history and jump to back in the day, as the kids like to say. Can't wait.
Here is a scene from a classic David horror movie. The movie is referred to as the Television of Tasting. It opens on an old deserted home, and we hear hedgehogs howling. We move in, and we see that four people...
I can already tell that this is mine. There are hedgehogs involved.
We move in and we can see that four people are standing by a catch-all grave. One says, "Absolutely," and the others all nod their ears. And then they shove a weird box into the grave. The box is a customer coffin and it is open. Inside is a pale, dead cat that has a stake through its mind. Then the people start throwing characters into the grave singing, "Girls, girls, girls." They stop kinda when an enormous bat flies down and says, "I am the spirit of Count Matt Hardy and a member of the Singing Dead. I am going to come back and get all of you products." Then the corpse sits up and shouts, "Give it to me!" Now, David, what the hell movie was that? Where can we find that on the old Netflix?
That was my 1982 classic, Savage Ernie Thursday. It stars Jennifer Jason Leigh, and it's one of my earlier flicks. It was a bit raw, as they say, but I think it'll hold up if you check it out on the Netflix. I think it holds up.
All right, go find that on the old Netflix, the Amazon Prime. I think it might get
that
a little
is Savage
more
Ernie Thursday.
Savage Ernie Thursday. There you go.
And if anybody wants to leave a review for that, where can they find you on the internet so that they can?
Well, if you feel so inclined as to follow me on the Twitter or Twitter, you can do so at JustCallMeDJM. And you can also check out the mothership, if you will, DeltaJulietMike.com.
Now, you can say tweet or twatter, but you can't say tweet a twat. So there's some problems over there. Kent, where can people tweet your twat?
Oh, my twat can be tweeted.
I don't know what that means.
At @RM_DelNoche. Or if you're a beer guy and you wanna toast my tot or something, I don't know. you can get on Untapped and find me username Del Noche on there.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I'm at Ethan Kane, ETHANCAINE. I want to tell you about a little project that I've been doing, man. Some people already know this. Owen O'Docta, JJ Stone O'Docta, something. I don't know.
O'Docta.
O'Docta has some shows on the old DiamondClub.tv. The one I want to tell you about right now is on Mondays. Shite. It's 6 p.m. Central, I believe. It's called IQMZ Sports. We do it live. It's Odokta and a buddy of his, Jason. And they go through the stories from the week of sports. But if you've ever heard Odokta talk about anything, that's how he treats the week in sports. Jason comes in with the stats. Odokta's got the commentary. It's a great time. It lasts about an hour, plus whenever they want to stop talking.
I have to add, it has world-class producing.
That it does. Some completely rando is out there producing the show. But that's on diamondclub.tv.
If there's one thing I know, it's about being a rando that produces a sports show. Trust me.
So good times on that. Stopping by diamondclub.tv on Mondays. Shites. I believe it's at 6 p.m. of the Pacific in the time zone. And, of course, dude, we're going to be at South by next week.
Yeah, man. So I was alluding to that in the beginning of the show. We've been super busy getting things ready for the live show. So for those of you uncool kids not in the know, we will be on 6th Street in Austin at Darwin's Pub a week from today on the 9th. It's the 9th, right?
Yes,
the 9th of March, next Thursday, we will be at Darwin's Pub. It's on 6th Street. Check it out on Google. You can find it. It's super easy. Or just tell your Uber driver. Oh, wait, they don't have an Uber. Just tell your Lyft driver. Oh, shit.
No Lyft?
No Lyft? No Uber?
Wow.
Man,
so you might actually have to find walk a ride. So find a ride down to 6th Street.
Hitchhike to 6th Street.
Yes. We're going to be there from about 4 to 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a big Diamond Club meetup. There's going to be so many people there. If you're not there, you are missing the event that is kicking off the South by So Wasted weekend. It is, like I said, 4 to 7 p.m. From 5 to 6 p.m., sandwiched right in the middle of the meetup.
Ish.
Ritual Misery Podcast is going to put on our very first live performed show, and I can't wait, man.
Good luck, guys. Good luck.
But as Ritual Misery does, we bribe people to support us in the things that we do. We've got some things for them, man. Do you want to tell them a little bit about what's going to be happening?
Real quick, we're going to have a guest there. It just so happens that everyone we're asking to be our guest, our surprise guest, is either A, not going to be there this year for the first time in ever, B, arriving via airplane at the same time the show goes live, or is likely to be too drunk to be any help at all. Junior, I'm talking about you.
We will have a guest, though. We will have a special guest.
Games, prizes, and swag to be had. So come on by. Also, the food and the drink there is just awesome.
Yeah. If you guys have never been to Darwin's Pub, it's absolutely great. We, for the last couple of years, we have gone to Darwin's just as, you know, this is a place that we like to hang out. And they have great food. The prices are pretty good. The customer service is phenomenal there. You will want to tip the people that are helping you out there. But one thing that I want to say to entice people to come there, other than the fact that you're going to see all of your chat realm buddies there already, during the show, we are going to be playing some games. And what do winners of games get? They get prizes.
Fabulous prizes?
That's right.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
What do we have for them, Amos?
we're gonna bring some stickers, maybe some used pencils. I like to use pencils.
I don't know about the pencils, but we definitely have stickers. We have R&P stickers. We've got Diamond Club stickers. We've got T-shirts. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. It's going to be such a great time, and you're probably going to walk away with something, whether it's if you show up to the event wearing a Ritual Misery T-shirt, you're going to get a beer bought for you by me. So the T-shirt will pay for itself.
Boom.
You're likely to get some sort of a prize. I almost guarantee that you're going to walk away with something from RMP. So definitely come check us out. We'll put some stuff out on.
Or don't, because if you don't come by, it'll be cheaper for us.
Well, there's that. But I encourage you, because one of the times of the year that I do splurge, you know, there's Christmas and then there's South by.
Yeah.
So that's I set aside some money to
one
spend.
One day.
Yeah. One of them is great for the kids. The other one's the worst thing ever for the liver. hey, if you want to send some feedback to this show, tell us how good we did, or just you know, just bitch at us about something, like the fact that the stream just dropped a few minutes ago and came back. RitualMiseryPodcast@gmail.com. Go ahead and shoot us an email. We might even read it on air. We're gonna read it, and
probably read it.
God, you read those? You actually validate these idiots?
Oh yeah, yeah. We're all about validating here, I think. What's validating mean, Kent? What's validating?
We'll talk about it after.
That's what she said. hey, it's about time to hit this little button right here. I want to send a special thanks to everyone at Diamond Club, because we're going to South By to hook up with you guys and party, and it's just a great time. So thank you so much, and thank you to Kevin McLeod for allowing us to use your theme music. For David and for Kent and for me, this has been your Ritual Misery Podcast.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.